Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 254, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, September 13th, 2022.
Mm-hmm. Our favorite, National Ants on a Log Day, National Bald is Beautiful Day, okay? National Peanut Day.
Peanut Day.
Yep.
And what I mean, Peanuts are really having a good day on this day where they have their own day and then also one of the most delicious ways to consume peanut butter.
Yeah, ants on a log. Are the ants raisins? Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay.
Typically.
And then if you look at a peanut, it could look like a bald head, which is beautiful. So
I mean, Mr. Peanut, definitely an example of a bald, beautiful king.
It's also called Day of the Programmer, which is interesting construction of the name because normally it's National Bald. This feels like fucking
Day
like
of
ominous.
The Programmer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It sounds like it was written
the Night
in
of
code.
The Programmer
is upon us.
But yeah, it's because it's the 256th day of the year because the number is distinct to programmers. Okay, obviously people know that. It's represented by an 8x8 byte. 256 equals 2 to the 8th power. Come on, folks.
Exactly.
8-bit byte. Sorry, I don't know what I'm saying.
Did you guys not know that? Oh, my God.
I had no idea.
That is so embarrassing for you guys. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Yo Jack Horseman, courtesy of Miles Gray, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Look at all the royal people. Do, 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 do. Look at all the loyal people. Do, 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 do. Cillian Murphy watches the hearse as it rolls down the street with a grin. There goes the queen, watches the king go sit on his ass in a throne that he hates more and more.
down to his core. All the loyal people, they think the queen's their mom. All the loyal people swear to the royal scum. Shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man. He comes
on
with
one right now.
The harsh royal, aka, as I love it. Let's keep him going. Maybe we can hit a royal flush.
The collaboration between you and Crispy Meme Donut right now, Christy Yamaguchi, man, it's McCartney Lennon esque. I gotta say, it's appropriate that he did Eleanor Rigby, because it's that the likes of this haven't been seen since they were on one for a couple of years back in the day,
since they got back from India, man, all tripped out. You know what I mean? That's what we're in that phase.
Yeah. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented writer, stand-up comedian, and the host of the Bechdel Cast podcast, Taking Down the Patriarchy One Movie at a Time. She also happens to have a master's degree in film, Big Whoop, the most anagrammable name in the English language, No Big Whoop. Mm-mm. So depending on whether you've been given her name in a word jumble or not, you may know her as Nine Tit Dracula, Latin Dancer UTI, but in our hearts, she will always be Caitlin Durante!
Caitlin! Hello, I've got another anagram for y'all.
Oh, no. Shit. I mean, and by that I mean, yes, please.
Okay, this one, let me set it up a little bit.
Okay. I like a bit of backstory.
Yeah, of course. Well, okay, so you know how certain, you know, movie titles, let's say, it'll be like Frankenstein, Tanya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This follows this format.
Okay.
So it's I, Radical Nutnet. Now, let me explain what a nutnet is.
Yeah, please.
You know, in like bathing suits for like, if you have like junk and you have that like kind of mesh lining.
Yeah.
That's a nut net.
Okay.
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 Look it up. Mm-hmm. You won't find anything because I just made this up, but.
That tracks.
I feel like that's what a nut net is. So again, it's radical nut net. Yeah. Nut net.
How is it radically different from the traditional nut net? And I hate
It's on the outside. It's on the outside of the bathing suit. That's how you do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It ceases to function at all. That reminds
me. Or it does function.
Yeah, right. I think there's a picture of me as a kid wearing my trunks inside out and thinking it's so funny because of that, the nut net on the outside.
Miles, that was so funny.
That was fun, by the way. You were right.
Yeah. You were correct at that time.
It's totally worth my mom saying, "Look at you, stupid. Now go change in the house in Japanese."
Look at you, stupid. Oh, man. I wonder if I have to like start nagging my kids when I think they're actually being funny, you know? Because I feel they are funny. Like they say funny stuff and I just laugh at them, but I feel like that's not going to make them funny when they grow up.
Right.
You know?
Well, in Japanese, like the word baka means stupid, but it also means like when you laugh, you're like fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Like it's the sort of same thing. So exasperatedly, my mom be like, baka, and like, but be like laughing. So it's not like, hey, stupid fuck, get in there. It's like, stupid ass, go change your fucking suit. It's like the more the energy of that statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And good, I think kids need to learn some humility at an early age.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. I've been using the bad cops in We Own the City, always call the people who they're abusing dummy. They're always like, come here, dummy. What are you doing there, dummy?
Get
over here, dum-dum. And so I've been doing a lot of that. And they think that's very funny.
Yeah, that's in that good parenting book. Treat your kids like perps.
Come over here, dum-dum.
Yeah. You are a Baltimore cop and a parent. A perp. Raising them right.
I do a bad Baltimore accent every time I'm doing it, so I think they get it.
And what does that sound like? Could you demonstrate? Yeah.
Come over here, dum-dum. All right, come here, dummy. It's like a Philly accent-ish.
I feel like the way you did it was you just kind of kept your mouth tighter.
Just did my mouth a little tighter.
Yeah, said, my come little over. Tighter. Here, dum-dum.
Get over here, dum-dum. Get over here. Dummy. Dummy.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the behind the scenes of you being the accent coach.
Yeah. I've been working on, like, I've been really just, like, trying to embody the character you know, as much well as done. Possible. So well, thank you. All right, Caitlin, you were just traveling the world. How is the world?
You know, it's hot and it's mostly just hot.
Not much else to say about it.
Yeah. It's nice. Europe is nice. I don't know if anyone's ever thought this or said this before, but like, for example, Paris, it's pretty. Barcelona, it's nice.
Okay.
But I'm the first person to have this thought. So
I was just there too. And I have a different thought. When I was in Barcelona, the biggest glaring like fault of that city, and I think just Catalonia in general, the lack of Best Buys. There's not a single Best Buy there. And I'm like, where am I supposed to get a phone charger? And I was screaming at these people saying, I need an iPhone charger. And they're like telling me to go to, I don't fucking know. It wasn't Best Buy.
Yeah.
Very unhelpful.
And if they don't have a Best Buy, that should be the first thing they advertise. So you don't waste all three days you're there looking for a Best Buy.
Yep.
Right.
Which is why I have a new website called Best Buy or Not. And you put in a destination. It tells you straight up if there's a Best Buy or not. Saves you a ton of money.
There you go.
Any other highlights, though?
No, just that there are no Best Buys. I would guess probably across most of Europe.
Yeah, it's a shame. Tragedy. Yeah. That.
So Barcelona nice and Paris is pretty? Or do I have that reversed?
I think you have that correct.
Okay, cool,
I would also say London, pleasant.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
Edinburgh, cute.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I like that.
Amsterdam.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Amsterdam, charming.
Wow. Some scathing takes. Was that all? We're not in the overrated yet. Let's not go feathers quite yet.
Wow. Are any places you went that were just like good? I love a good place, you know? It's just like good.
It is. Do you mean that is in like good as a step down from the other adjectives I used?
A step more broad, a step more non-descriptive.
Yeah. No, I would say no places are just good.
Okay, cool.
Right.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a lot to inhabit good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, Caitlin, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we are talking about. Today, we're talking about Herschel Walker. We're talking about Denver's pilot program for policing alternatives, for having an alternative to, like, a single alternative to calling an armed person to come and point a gun at people. It's called the STAR program, Support Team Assisted Response. And
sounds dodgy. Sounds like a dystopia where the criminals are running everything.
Right, exactly. No, it's just people who have psychological, you know, psychiatric training, and they respond to people who are having mental health crises instead of the police. And you'll never guess what happened. They've been doing this in Denver for a year.
Stay tuned.
We're going to talk about pumpkin spice, a couple culture wars that I feel like have been officially lost. Pumpkin spice has officially won, and also the masking, they've just given up. They're like, do whatever the fuck you want. It's all good, bro. Yeah. So we'll talk about that plenty more. But first, Caitlin, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I Googled Encanto screenplay PDF to see if I could find a PDF of the screenplay for the movie Encanto. Ooh. And I did find it.
I was guessing that's what you were looking for. And those are good. That is good search term for that.
Thank you. Nice. It was successful.
Well searched.
What are you doing with the script?
I wanted to take a look to see how old the Mirabel character is supposed to be when she's like grown up or like, you know, throughout most of the movie. I couldn't tell if she was like a teenager, an adult, wasn't sure. We're about to cover it on the Bechdel cast, so...
What?
I wanted to, yeah.
Banger.
Watch out, world.
What? I mean, seriously, though, that is a great, great episode that I'm very excited to listen to. What did you find out? Or should we tune in to find out?
It's a big, it's too big of a, no. She is 15.
Oh, okay. So, right, yeah. I could see that. That's definitely on the young side, but I feel like movies always in the described age, like, err on the young side.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They're like, well, Chief Brody from Jaws was actually 17 years old. You didn't realize that? because they just want it to be, like, young, sexy, you know?
Right.
So
right,
they'll just right. always go young.
Well, because I assume she was older, because, I mean, that character design, yeah, could be a 15-year-old, but also could be, like, a 25-year-old. Wasn't really sure. And then the voice actor is, like, a full adult. So I was like, she's, like, 21, right? No, it turns out she's a teenager.
Right.
I haven't seen it. What's the character's function to the narrative that makes
she's
that
the protagonist? Ever heard of that?
Miles. No, because I haven't taken your class, so I don't know fancy script words like that. You mean the main character?
Mm-hmm. Why haven't you taken my class? So
wait, that's Encanto?
Wait, what?
Encanto?
That's Encanto? So she's Encanto?
Encanto. yeah, she's Encanto.
Wow.
Encanto.
I'm sorry, you're watching with your old uncle. Which one's Encanto? Oh, got it. So wait, so is it sort of vague? And if you're like, so because she straddles like this sort of age group, you're like, are you looking at this as an adult or a child?
That's not even important to the story. I was just, I always, you know, do my recap, and I wanted to like accurately say like, oh, because we meet her when she's like a child at the very beginning, and then I was like, flash forward to her as, and I wasn't sure if I should say teenager or adult.
Got it.
So this is all very, like, it's not super important to the story how old she is. I just like to be as accurate as possible. I love accuracy.
Exactly. And we just revealed something about who you are. You respect accuracy. You're not out here just throwing out concepts.
Exactly.
That's right.
She's like, yeah, flash forward to her in an older vibe. And
but I do that sometimes, because sometimes
info's not there, right?
Exactly. You get
it. I think of a good, like, how old that character is supposed to be mystery, and I'm coming up blank. But
honestly,
like, gang, let us know.
Paddington. No one understands how old Paddington is or is supposed to be.
Except for you.
I feel like
nobody else gets it. He's ageless. 375.
Times 15 times actors pretended not to be their age in TV and movies, but fooled absolutely nobody. I guess that's a little different concept. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What is something you think is overrated?
I think that sourdough bread is overrated.
Wow. Damn. Go on.
Yeah.
Go on.
Wow.
It's too sour.
I think we just have to go to a break right now. I don't know how to react. I need to gather my thoughts.
Let
too
me make
sour,
a case. Too sour.
Okay.
And it's usually too hard of a bread. So if I'm eating I like a sandwich on a croissant, like a soft or like a brioche.
Hold on,
a bun.
Croissant is not that's just like hardened butter in like foam form, like layers. But I do like a croissant-wich for sure.
They're delicious.
Yeah.
I don't like to bite into a sandwich and feel as though the jagged edges are cutting my mouth, which is what happens every time I eat a sourdough bread sandwich.
Or like a baguette. You know,
baguette is also too.
I don't know how they do that
crusty.
In France. Is everybody's mouth just super like
calloused?
Yeah. From all the because I remember eating like anytime, crusty bread. I'm like, and I'm like the next day, I'm like, what's wrong with the top of my mouth? And I'm like, it was the crust that absolutely destroyed it.
I love a crusty bread. I love a crusty bread with a soft inside. I think my issue with sourdough is usually when they also toast it. Like if they're using sourdough as a sandwich bread and then they toast the sourdough, it's like the sourdough is, I love the consistency of like a regular sourdough where it's like real crusty hard outside and then it's like soft inside.
Yeah,
that's
my
ideal consistency for bread. Mm. But when they toast it on top of it already having the crusty outside, it's like, you could you know, strip paint with that shit.
Right.
Like that. The outside.
Yeah. Here, have your sandwich between these two bread mattresses that you can get through.
Yeah.
But, wait, so for you, though, it's the flavor. Well, it sounds
both.
Like what we're saying. It's the crust is too much and the sour is too sour.
Precisely. Yeah.
I love the fetid nature of a sourdough bread. There's just something so tantalizing about the sourness of it. But I think that just inspires me to use more butter. And that's why I'm like, I love this shit. Because you put enough butter on it and it's barely, it tastes like regular bread.
The thing I love about sourdough is how well the sour pairs with salty
with the butter.
A nice salty butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That really goes well together.
Look at us. Ideal ideal sandwich bread, Caitlin?
I would say, honestly, I mean, again, I love a croissant as
I love that
catalyst for sandwiches.
A condense.
Doesn't make any sense, but I think it's a tricky one. I'll say croissant.
Mm.
Okay,
I love that's just so decadent. Like our like if I eat a croissant, that's like it's intentional to be like
I want a
treat. Croissant. Yeah,
it's a special day.
It's when one step above putting it on a Krispy Kreme donut.
Yeah. Dude, Jack, when we did that live show in Chicago, after the live show, I got Portillo's.
Yeah.
And late at night, and I had a beef and cheddar on a fucking croissant because the homegirl, Ellie McIlvain, Chicago native, was like, if you go and you want to disrespect yourself, get that on a croissant. And I was like, say less. Unbelievable combo. It turned the dresser like see-through because it was so greasy.
Already a notoriously wet sandwich with the like most saturated bread, pre-saturated bread possible. I love it.
Love a wet sandwich. Yeah.
Oh, anyway, shout out Chris Sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. What is what's something you think is underrated?
I think the movie Malignant underrated.
Really?
Have you seen
what's
it?
Malignant?
I haven't.
Okay, so it's a James Wan horror movie from last year, 2021. James Wan, king of the world.
Mm-hmm.
There, I said it. Yeah. And I think,
Titanic.
Yes, exactly.
A Titanic quote.
You might know him from his past work.
He made a movie called Malignant. It is cuckoo bananas. If you like a horror movie that just doesn't really feel like obeying the laws of gravity, physics.
Wow.
Okay.
Wait, and it's not part logic of the conceit of the film? Like, in a fucked up world where gravity's fucked up.
I'm also speaking metaphorically. Gravity doesn't really have much to do with the movie.
Mm. But it's not tethered to our normal, not bound to the laws of our normal.
You thought
narrative
that
world.
You understood logic? Well, forget what you know about that. And then watch Malignant.
Okay, give me something. Give me more than that now. Like, what's something that make me laugh?
Wow. Okay.
Doesn't have to be related to Malignant, though.
Yeah.
Just go.
Here's my opener on what I do stand up.
All right, name everything Malignant about Malignant.
I feel like I'm at one of my dad's family reunions. All right, go. Yeah, you want to come?
Oh, you do comedy? Okay. Make me laugh.
Yeah. All right, make me laugh. And
you've never made me laugh in my entire life. What's up? Go ahead. Let me see it.
or you know, an example, like, because I am intrigued now when you say it's so amazing because it's not tethered to reality. I'm like, well, and that's not the conceit of the film.
I'm also worried now that I'm overselling it because I haven't seen the movie since last year, and it's not very fresh in my brain. But another movie that Jamie and I are about to cover on the Bechdel cast, so it's like it's top of the dome right now. I'm very excited to rewatch. It's just. Tonally, also, it's not just like straight horror. It's goofy horror, we'll say.
That's fun.
Okay.
And that's kind of my favorite like subgenre.
You know, I think, I don't like straight. I don't like, hey, let me fuck you up as you cast your eyes upon this feature. I like, I like when it's a little goofy, actually. Mm. So
then you're going to love Malignant.
Okay.
So James Wan is the filmmaker behind Saw.
Saw.
Furious. Saw Furious 7.
Furious 7, The Conjuring, like a lot of those movies, like all the most successful horror movies.
Insidious. As well as Aquaman.
Yeah, right.
Wait, did he make Insidious?
I thought so, yeah.
He made Insidious and Insidious Chapter 2, okay? Which is what I thought you were recommending because Insidious and Malignant both occupied the same spot in my brain because they're both words that, you know, are tied to a very bad performance review. You know, it's like, oh no, this has gone very badly if I get either of those words.
Imagine, yeah, doing so badly at your job. The report comes back and it says, yeah, Jack's performance was malignant.
Malignant member of the team. That, yeah.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, this is what he does. And it sounds like he really took it to the next level on this one.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Barbarian?
Yes, and I'm seeing it tomorrow night.
Are you? Okay. Because that is the movie that I've gotten similar recommendations on, mm-hmm. that are also people being like, don't read anything about it. Just Ooh. Go. And it's like fun, but it's not what you expect. And like the unexpectedness is what is fun about it. And it's made by one of the whitest kids you know, which love when a comedy creator gets into the horror game and is good at it. But yeah, mm-hmm. that's getting a lot of buzz.
Wow. Yeah, it is wild. The description of it, I'm like, oh, this plus the title. It's about someone who like gets to an Airbnb and someone else is already there. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, what harm could it do to hang out here tonight?
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Just you wait.
All right. Yeah. Let me know if it's goofy.
It is sponsored by Airbnb, which is the unexpected thing. It ends up Airbnb just makes it, like, solves everything, and it's, like, really wonderful.
It's a very cathartic story, yeah.
Right.
And then you get a brain implant and come out and be like, you gotta go see this.
The Deus Ex Machina moment is, like, as, like, the main character is, like, about to be killed, they open the app and they contact, like, the customer service chat. They're like, I think someone was already booked here. And they're like, what?
Oh,
we'll get
them
out right now.
We'll send guy's an like, armed team right now.
You just called Airbnb?
Oh, damn.
All right, I'm out. Sorry about that then.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, cool. I do love getting a good movie recommendation from Caitlin. We have achieved that. I believe it is time to take a break and move on to some news. So we will be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And Herschel Walker has come up from time to time on this show, mainly for being like making some of the wildest statements, untethered, if you will, from reality, from
or policy in general,
how logic works.
I mean, yeah.
Would you say he's a malignant then?
Sort of a malignant figure.
I would say.
And his intentions may be insidious.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Well, his polls are no longer underwater like Aquaman, because he is now leading Raphael Warnock, or he's slowly been gaining on Warnock and is now in the lead against Raphael Warnock, which has everyone like, oh, shit, that's fucking like it's so
would be
he's
bad.
He's so clearly a terrible candidate who knows nothing of even what the fuck trees are. Or right. Like we've talked about how he said he was an FBI, how he worked with the FBI. He did not. And like insisted on all this shit that like, remember the other time he was going to kill a guy, but then he prayed in his truck and then was like, dear God, don't make me take this man's life. And then he didn't. And that's why he should be your next senator.
But he was like, I was going to kill him for the CIA, right? Wasn't that part of it?
He was working with, he was working with the FBI, who you don't know. Okay. And he was following him. And then, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I saw that he was a God-fearing man because his truck had a Jesus slogan sticker. And that was his sign from God to spare his
life.
Is that
how the FBI works? Are they're like going to take somebody out, but then they're just like, you know what? I figured he's a good guy.
Based on how sloppy they are, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like if they're honestly like, okay. So it turned out he was a good guy. They're like, yeah, couldn't do it, boss.
McVay? He's a good shit. I don't think he's going to cause too many problems for us. Timothy? Nah. Timmy McVay? Let him go.
He could use his buddy could use a couple flights out of here, though. Low key, though. Let's not talk about that. But yeah, so right now, if you look sort of like at the history of this seat, right? Kelly Loeffler narrowly lost to Raphael Warnock in 2020. And it was narrow. It was like 51-49. But, you know, all you need is 50% plus one and you are the winner. And the GOP was furious that they lost this race because they felt this was a sure thing. And Georgia had been, to that point, a really reliable red state. And, a lot of people speculate, was it Trump's voter fraud, cries of voter fraud that suppressed the vote? Or maybe was it the fact that countless hours were spent by volunteers and campaign staff to get as many people to vote in that special election? Who knows? But right now, Walker has the lead and it's very narrow. It's like within the margin of error. But when you look at how the polls break down, you can see that he's clearly a more appealing option for black men in Georgia than Kelly Loeffler was. He's outperforming her in that demographic like by 7 points.
I'm sorry, do you mean Fast and the Furious 7?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Because, I think his signal to other black men is, hey, we're family. And that was the way he was trying to get the votes.
Like, hey, we're family, like a certain like, character in Fast and the Furious.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. And, so right now, that seems to be like the one area where he's really outperforming Kelly Loeffler. And I think, from the beginning, we're like, this was like a cynical candidate where it felt like Trump's big brain was like, get another black man to run against that black man. And that will be the strategy. And he is my pick, even though he's a compulsive liar. And it could work, but we just don't know. But when you look at like the other demographics, young people and seniors are, they favorite Warnock. That's not, an issue. Women, 55% are also breaking for Warnock. It's the like 40 to 66 demo that Herschel Walker is just crushing in right now. And that's just kind of what the stakes are. And
also happens to be the demographic that would be familiar with him from his football playing career.
Absolutely. In the state and be like, I know that brand. Yeah. You've got my attention. And I don't know, like when you look at it, it's easy to think like, well, he should be losing on the heels of all the things he says. But again, when one party's full on like, hey, we got to get all our people in if we're going to never lose an election again. It starts to make a little bit of sense. But I just want to point out a couple really fantastic Walkerisms that happened over the last week. The first one was him talking about how Raphael Warnock is so extreme because he wants white people to feel bad. You know, that's like the typical thing that they do on like when they're writing against Democrats, like he's radical and he's, you know, he's a socialist. But this is him saying, making up a total lie. The quote that he's saying Warnock said, he never said that. And he just then goes on to make up cool stuff about like the Constitution.
My opponent, Senator Raphael Warnock, I remember hearing him say, America need to apologize for its whiteness. Oh, and I'm like, that's not in a Bible I've read. Because if you really look at the situation, our founding fathers already apologized for his whiteness. Because if you read the Constitution, it talks about every man being treated fair. But what we've done, we put the wrong person at the table to do the negotiation for you.
I don't know what that means.
Interesting.
Yeah. First of all, he never said that.
Right.
But I think because people who are willingly like acknowledging history and, you know, hegemony are like, yeah, you know, there's clearly black people have been at a disadvantage. White people enslaved black people. I don't know. Like maybe those things have been said. So then he's like, they got to apologize for that. Or, you know, that's how they make the whole acknowledging history conversation about like they want you to apologize for doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't fucking do anything.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that wouldn't be in a Bible you ever read because it, never mind.
Yeah, let's just move
the
on.
Bible didn't have takes on shit right. That was going on, but fine. And then the Constitution does not say that it's about treating everyone fairly. Come on now. Come on now, Herschel. You knew that.
Slave economy.
You knew
written
that.
By slavers. Come on, man.
But.
Wow.
Yeah, that seems to be working, as he says. He said his whole advantage has been that he gets out there and he talks to people. Mm-hmm. And in a way, maybe because his way of speaking is so lo-fi, for lack of a better term.
Right.
That they're like, yep, uh-huh. I know these like word salad buzzwords that I hear on the news all the time. And he's saying that to me in a like a even tone. So I like him.
Like, has there been a Democratic candidate who just has realized that, like, if you just tell nothing but lies, the media, like, kind of gives up on fact-checking you and everybody just, like, kind of goes with it?
Joe Biden?
Right. Yeah. I guess it just feels, different. Like, I don't know. Maybe it just feels different because we wanted Joe Biden to win against Trump, but... That is,
I don't know. I mean, I think every politician, it's just all versions of it, right? Like they'll just say fucking Republicans say whatever, whenever. Democrats say they lie when it's necessary to get people to support them.
Right. They like make promises they know they'll never deliver on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's who knows? Anyway, I do also want to, the 9/11 anniversary was on Sunday as well. And Herschel Walker also has some cool stuff to say about 9/11. But it also sounds like he's giving a halftime talk. But I don't know. This is Herschel Walker's take on, you know, what happened on 9/11.
On Fox News with Maria Bartiromo. Or is that who that is?
Yep. And it's her birthday, too. Remember, her birthday's on 9/11.
Never forget. I never forget.
Well, you know, you got to pay tribute to the 9/11 victims, you know, but also you saw America come together. You saw America come together because this country was, you know, it was under war with a country that didn't believe in us.
They didn't believe in us. Can you believe that, guys? Wait, they don't believe in us out there.
America was at war with a country that didn't believe in us before 9/11?
No.
We were not at war. We were on a war.
On the war.
On the war.
Against a country that didn't believe in us.
Right now, we have leaders in Washington, like Joe Biden, doing venomous speeches that doesn't believe in America people.
Okay. Anyway, so thanks. But that's
it is an interesting angle. That the problem or 9/11 was caused by a country that didn't believe in America. Like it's truly It's truly an 80s movie, like 80s movie for children understanding of the world that like you just got to believe in yourself. You know?
Right. Or that like your oppressive foreign policy around the globe didn't radicalize people into not believing you, in this country.
Like, it's just a sub-mainstream media understanding.
But it even confuses Bartiromo. She's like, what the fuck? All right, fam. Thank you. I don't know. It maybe is genius because it's so off base. Like, you truly don't know where to begin. Like, it's beyond Gish Gallop shit. You're like, I asked you for a question and you threw like a weird fart cloud at me.
You know that, I think it was a Miss America contestant giving like an absolute nonsense.
Yeah, Iraq.
That's what that sounds like.
The Asian countries?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we have that? Because that is kind of the perfect corollary that she just is using words that are all words that you
she says such as like five times as if that's like
they're all like words you would transitions and stuff that you would have studied, but without any content, without anything going behind the eyes. Yeah.
The Miss Teen USA 2007 contestant from South Carolina may have given politicians a blueprint for how to word salad talk.
Yeah.
If you remember this.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
Come on.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable US to Americans. Do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as. I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
All right. What? All right. What? Thanks so much. Thanks so much.
It's always better than I remembered it. It's, oh, man.
Look, the Iraq, such as, it's that. Therefore, connective, just to be like, oh, I gotta get a such as in there, man.
Yeah,
you went over these buzzwords with the coach.
delay. Words. I mean, her coach definitely gave her some delay tactics, but assuming that eventually there would be something coherent, the coach did not foresee South Africa coming through and just throwing her train of thought completely off. And
yeah,
who knows where that came from.
I mean, and I believe Donald Trump was the person putting on shit like Miss Teen USA. So he may have been there taking notes. He's like, she's fucking brilliant. She fucking just crushed that answer.
Flames.
Like, what? Anyway, so yeah, it shouldn't be, you know, too much of a surprise that the Republicans are motivated to vote for somebody who has no business being near office. But that's just kind of the state of things right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, good to know. And again, the news hook here is that he is in the lead now.
Yeah, he's leading by 2 to 3 points, depending on where you look.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, like all those things, that's within the margin of error. But what does that mean when you have voter suppression and weird polling all over the place? It's tight. It's tight.
Too fast, too furious.
I was trying to figure out how to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Too fast, 2-3 can't
Tokyo drift.
2-3 Tokyo drift. Anyways, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some better news, maybe.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And we're back. And so we talked a number of times about the need for some policing alternative in the United States. We've talked about it, you know, for years.
Yeah, you wouldn't stop
now.
Talking about it 2 years ago.
And we've talked about it with it recently when Joe Biden brought up the very good point where he was like, we're allowing them to be sociologists, psychologists. And then went on to say, and that's why we don't need to defund the police. We need to fund the police. So like, so somehow he took that, like, our policy that up to this point has made it so that the police are who you call when you need a psychologist or a sociologist. I'm not sure if I've ever needed a sociologist on demand, but, you know,
speak for yourself.
Yeah. He was just free associating, and he was like, so that's why we need to just absolutely fund the shit out of the police like we have been up to this point. So we talked before about how Eugene, Oregon, for a while had a policy of, you know, sending an alternative when somebody was calling the police because someone was having a mental health crisis or having a bad drug experience, rather than sending someone with guns to, you know, heighten the situation, mm-hmm. to just buy it. Best cop in the world, if they bring a gun and are pointing a gun at people, they're going to scare the shit out of the person having a bad drug experience. So, like, just in general, it's a bad policy to be the default everywhere except Eugene, Oregon. So in 2020, Denver, Colorado decided to try out a similar approach on a larger scale with something they're calling STAR, which stands for Support Team Assisted Response. And when you call 911 in, I wrote it as 9-11, got 9-11 on the brain. When you call 911, you're call will be routed either to the police or to STAR, who send unarmed people with psychiatric training. It's not at random, by the way. The, you know, 911 dispatcher is like, oh, this sounds like somebody who is not a danger to other people and just might themselves need help in any other city. That call is getting routed directly to the police either way. Right. Denver is like, here's a wild idea. What if, because that person doesn't need police assistance, what if we created a team that wasn't armed and that was there to help them? And so they started this in 2020. The neighborhoods where they tried it saw much less low-level crime, and the cost of each of the calls was less than one-fourth of what it costs to just, like, throw the police at everything, which every one of those dollars then goes towards community programs that have actually been shown to reduce crime and improve inequality.
Right, but is it safer?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah.
Sorry. So I drastically
diminished crime.
Okay. I default to my first thing is just to ask without even hearing anything. Is just going, yeah, but is it making us safer? So you're saying
does it make me feel safer? I want someone here with a gun yesterday, right, sir, is the first thing I say to 911.
My street light went out. Send the armed brutes, please.
But yeah, I mean, so the low-level crimes are the crimes that they are most likely to interact with, and they are doing a better job of keeping those sorts of crimes down.
The simplest solutions.
It's just so straightforward that I think probably most people assume it's been tried and failed or something. Like it doesn't really makes sense. But
could you imagine people like, wait, we never tried any of this other stuff first? Yeah.
Like, what? Well, I think part of me must have assumed that,
so we added more guns,
right?
Oh shit. But I mean, like, even Joe Biden, he like almost, it's like a, I mean, obviously no one's gonna like latch on to what he said like we would, but I'm like, that's an ad for why you shouldn't be president. When you're, yes, like, these guys are all overworked. They're expected to be nurses, cooks, landlords, sociologists, esports pros, babysitters. I mean, we can't do, the solution for this isn't to take less shit off their plate. It's to pay them more money and give them more bang bangs.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? You just said it out loud. You're like, these guys got too much going on. Then you should say, well, then they need to be more specialized if they're around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you need an archaeologist, you want them to have a whip and a fedora hat to come when they come on the scene. So we need to buy whips and fedora hats for all these people.
Jill's looking at the Secret Service. She's like, what did I say about Indiana Jones tapes before speeches? He gets them mixed up.
Oh, man.
Famously, all archaeologists are not only, you know, excavating and usually stealing artifacts from indigenous people, but they're also punching people.
Punching and following through like three steps. That's how he always punches. He punches and then falls forward three steps. Every time. It's like, yo, why are you so bad at punching? You punch all the time. You punch so much more than anybody.
Yeah. Take a class if you want. Yeah.
Was that because Indiana, they didn't want to make it seem like he's more of a professor, right? He's not out here brawling all the time. So if he does, he has to throw like a wild punch that, you know.
Well, no, like, it's Harrison Ford across his films. When he is an action hero president, he also, when he gets in a fist fight, will punch, fall forward multiple steps.
Yeah, you're right. He is, actually, the more I think about it, he is the most like goofy dude caught up in the wildest shit all the time. Yeah. Like in Clear and Present Danger, like when they get fucking ambushed, like in that street and they're like hitting RPGs on those Suburbans and he's like, ah, and he's like jacket. I remember there's like a scene where he's running and he's like holding his sleeve weird and it always bugged me as a kid. I'm like, bro, your jacket's a mess. Like,
because he had a joint in there that he was smoking.
Jack Ryan?
Yeah. He's so fascinating to me because it just doesn't make sense to me why he works as well as he does, and yet like I love watching him on camera And yeah, he's an action hero, despite the fact that he mainly comes off as like a professor who like doesn't know how to iron his clothes. Like he's just
he's an everyman.
And we, yeah,
we just we relate.
Who yeah, is true. The worst? Is he the worst action actor?
I would like, say no. I would give that to Nicolas Cage.
I mean, like, okay, let me phrase that differently. Like, if you had to call a guy, I don't know, like, I feel like Harrison Ford in an action film fills me with the least amount of confidence. I know he gets through it in the films, but I'm like, he's so real slippery up there.
You find out that the Academy Awards has been taken over by terrorists and one actor is missing from the thing. And like, you realize, oh, he's loose in the building. Causing havoc.
Bruce Willis.
Who's the first you want, and the last you want? I would go The Rock or someone like that.
I was gonna say I would call The Rock
or Gerard Butler.
Yeah, I think
he has a good track record in his films and looks coordinated.
I feel like The Rock believes he has superpowers, like legit, and like believe you know.
But then that'll get
that
him murked real early in a real situation. I feel like.
He's like his character in the good guy or the other guys where he's gonna like jump off a building and land 3 feet short of the dumpster in a pile of goo.
But no, I see what you're saying, Miles. I think that I wouldn't call upon Harrison Ford. He's not good at like hand to hand combat. He's like but I think even worse is anytime Nicolas Cage is in an action movie, which is a lot.
Sure.
Frequently.
Jackie Chan might be the best guess. The best first pick.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he can actually kick ass. He'd probably charm the pants off of the terrorists.
Yeah. He'd be so animated, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Just a blast all around.
All right, Jackie. We're back.
All right. Well, let's talk pumpkin spice. It is pumpkin spice season. Football started this past weekend. I feel like I associate that with pumpkin spice. And traditionally, there has been a backlash, at least on this podcast. Our writer, J.M. McNabb, will, write a story that's like, God, everything's pumpkin spice now. Dang it.
And creeping up earlier and earlier. I remember that was like the thing we were dealing with the last 2 years. We're like, wow, we're really going for it in August.
Yeah. The opening day of the baseball season means pumpkin spice. Is like where we're headed for.
April.
But anyways, JM is pointing out that this appears to be one of those trends, and a cultural critic compared it to Uggs, which I think is actually kind of smart. It's one of those trends that when it first hit, we were like, okay, this is a passing fad. This is like dumb and nobody's going to be into this. Like we tried to put it into that context of like a, I love the 20 teens or whatever, like passing cultural fad. Remember pumpkin spice lattes, except they just like year after year never went away. And now like nobody's even complaining about them. It's just a part of the human condition at this point.
They'd complain if there wasn't pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah. 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 And Uggs, similarly, I remember when we were like, remember Uggs? And then a couple years later, everyone was like, yeah, no, we all just wear Uggs now, man. Like, that's...
Do people still wear Uggs? I never see people in Uggs anymore.
I've seen a lot of Uggs. I've seen the Uggs.
Yeah, the Uggs are... And they came back with a vengeance, too. I remember, like, in high school, Uggs, like, were coming out in high school for me. And they were, like, too expensive, so they kind of became, like, a class thing in my high school where, like, the rich girls had the Uggs. And then everyone was, like, a lot of people were, like, Jesus, they look so, you just look like you gave up. Like, especially when they're all, like, worn down. And then it passed, and then I noticed my friend's kids started wearing Uggs, too.
Yeah.
And I was, like, oh, shit, they're never going away. They're never going away.
Oh, my.
But, yeah, with pumpkins, I don't know. It's become one. I think like Uggs, pumpkin spice is one of those things I've lived with, but it just doesn't resonate with me. So I forget that it's a thing.
Yeah. Nor does it bother you. Right. Like, it's just a thing.
I mean,
that's like, yeah,
it's funny when you see how much like Starbucks insists that, hey, it's time. Like, from their just gross consumer culture standpoint where they're like, we got to sell this shit. And guess what? It's time to buy it now.
It's time, instance, you horny fucks. Get ready for to
slather
slap
on your bodies, creeps.
Yeah. You disgusting pumpkin spice
you dummies.
Pigs.
You dumb dumbs.
Here you go, dumb dumb. Here's some pumpkin spice for you, dumb dumb. Here you go, dummy.
That's what it feels like. And I think that's why I don't fuck with it, because I'm not letting Starbucks treat me like a dumb dumb.
Yeah.
I just get mad when they try to pair pumpkin spice flavor with something that is a disgusting combination. They're like, oh, yeah. Because some things work. Like a pumpkin spice muffin, fine. Sure. Pumpkin spice sourdough bread, though.
What?
That's never happened.
It could.
But it could.
Knows? This is Biden's never. America, Jack. This is Biden's
that's
America.
True.
Who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's go, Brandon. Am I right?
But they're putting pumpkin spice in things that they should not be putting pumpkin spice in. And that's what I take issue with.
Right. Yeah. You just threw your chair across the room. The listeners might not have heard that.
Flipped a table.
It's interesting. One of the things that is new this year is Your Bai is a plant-based drink company, and they're introducing their first pumpkin spice energy drink just in time for fall. And so we have the image from I'm guessing this is like a print ad or a still from a video ad, and they have the energy drink can emerging from sort of a word cloud of like, or not word cloud, but like images that a collage of things. Thank so you got your cinnamon, you got your pumpkin, you've got your fall leaves.
Deciduous
and leaf. Then one of them is just a Starbucks cup, mm-hmm. like that is on its
tipped
side,
over.
Tipped yeah. over and spilling. In a way that looks weird, but like, I guess that's correct. That is one of the things we associate it with.
Is it something where you're like, yo, I need to turn my energy drinks up with pumpkin spice? That does not.
Make I can't sense. Imagine. Like,
I don't.
But I am
I get
not
the coffee
on
shit,
that.
Yeah. The baked goods, little desserts, but like an energy, no. Like
that's
I don't,
what I'm saying. We don't. Yeah. They're gonna start putting like pumpkin spice in like. Hard seltzer flavors, and I'm gonna be furious.
You know that shit already exists.
Oh yeah, it's because
there's like
it's
pumpkin spice beer, and like we already have that.
Oh, that well, I do kind of like a pumpkin spice beer. Shipyard from I think
wow.
a Maine brewery.
Like, you got your brand loyal.
But,
I like that.
But if I see a pumpkin spice White Claw, I am gonna pitch a fit.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna tell that woman to. Take her Balayage ombre hairdo and Ugg boots and get in her car and drive straight back to her church group.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't think anyone says, you know, I need my energy drink to feel like cozy.
Right.
Like, yeah, is that right. Was that the brainstorming session in there? They're like, you know, we should do. Unless it's, again, just a kind of one of those like marketing things where they're like, let's just fuck with people and say, you want a yerba mate based pumpkin spice energy.
I mean, yerba mate is like kind of it's a very distinct and overwhelming flavor. So I can see if you are going for a yerba mate, like energy drink, then maybe you're just looking to mask that shit. Mm-hmm. Like in the same way that it works with coffee. Martha Stewart made headlines in 2017 for claiming the pumpkin spice trend was for basic bitches only. That's a quote.
Who said that?
Martha Stewart. Martha D. Block Stewart.
And now she's promoting a pumpkin spice coffee.
Oh my
the
God.
The hypocrisy.
You basic motherfucker,
yeah.
Martha.
Wow.
What are the other inmates in the yard going to think of you?
They've also added it to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, along with MacGyver as a verb, just FYI.
Pumpkin spice was at. Wow.
Pumpkin spice is a blend of cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, cloves, and allspice commonly used in pumpkin pie. That noun is now.
MacGyver has a much better case to be in the fucking dictionary as its own thing than pumpkin spice.
Like, because that actually needs a definition, but right. Pumpkin spice is already pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait, what is that? Is that some kind of computing algorithm? Pumpkin spice?
Yeah, on the day of the programmer, yes.
Hey, dummy.
Day of
it's for your
programmer.
Starbucks. Yeah, what the fuck? So, cool. MacGyver, though, shout out to
very
that
cool
thing. As
I'm going to try and MacGyver myself a little pumpkin spice latte over here. Make a little nutmeg with a little cinnamon.
Wow.
I don't know. Drink it up, dummy.
Bring it home to a James Wan reference.
Yeah, I don't know. I still will fuck with a pumpkin spice latte. It's like a, it's a treat. You know, I'll have one or two a year and I will enjoy them quite a bit.
I only have one thing that I yearn for seasonally, and that's the winter dream latte, tea latte from Coffee Bean.
Because
it tastes like a Christmas store plus sugar. Okay. Yeah, wow. I love that shit. I'm telling you,
that.
When it comes around, it's wild.
Tea latte.
Yes. That's it. That's the only time I'm like, oh shit, it's that time of year. And again, like you, I miss it pretty much every fucking year. And then I'm like, fuck, I forgot about it again. But that is the one thing I.
You know how I knew pumpkin, it was over for all of us and pumpkin spice was winning? Is that last year Starbucks started like trimming down the flavored latte options that they had at, like, I think one of them was gone last year. I think it might have been gingerbread, or it might have been,
oh, there can only be one Highlander,
Christmas tree water. Right. I forget what the flavor was, but
Christmas tree stand.
That's correct.
Christmas tree stand water is no longer a latte flavor.
Oh, that shit. Oh man, whatever. Christmas tree. Yeah.
You know that water, like on January 7th, you've left it up a little too long.
It's just rotten. Yeah.
Pieces of scotch tape in there. Dead.
It's insidious.
Dead animals. Wow. Truly insidious.
Malignant, too.
Perhaps.
Yeah, might be. And I apologize for that.
Oh, man, you don't want to get that aqua on you, man.
Oh, buddy.
Gotta go. Sorry.
Caitlin, pleasure as always having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Caitlin Durante, and give a little listen to the Bechdelcast. I foreshadowed some episodes we have coming out. We've got Encanto, we've got Malignant on the Matreon, so it's behind the Patreon. But if you know, you know.
They know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's behind the paywall, but you know, get over there. And that's me.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That is.
Is there a tweet? Fantastic. Is there a tweet you've been drawing or some other work of social media?
Yes. It is from my dear friend and co-host, Jamie Loftus, tweeted, "Beauty businesses are like, wow, you are so beautiful. But unfortunately, you look like shit and need to give me $200 at this exact second."
It is so true. You always got to start off. I remember all this. And like, you have fantastic, like your cheekbones and stuff like that. And that's great. But it's like, it's just so dry everywhere. Right. Like, you're like, whoa, I'm fucking just crashed the car right after that compliment.
Unfortunately, you look like shit. You have natural beauty inside that is waiting to come out. But right now, you look like shit. Sorry. Miles, where can people find you, follow you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, man. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Just another thing, Jamie's use of looks like shit is, I think, one of her most potent rhetorical devices that she has as a creator.
It's
like
shit. It's a big staple in Dan Santa. Looks like shit and can't
looks
even
like
read.
Shit, can't even read. Yeah. But like, it hits so, there's a way, the timing of saying something looks like shit, it's like, I don't think there's a more efficient way to use that. And I think that
looks like shit.
Hard K sounds. There's two of them. That's always like a good punchy thing. Shit is like a very just punchy word. Yeah, it's perfect.
You look like shit. You know, you're not sloppy. You're not a fucking loser. You look like shit. Oh,
I actually want people to say that to me more because it's music to my ears.
Yeah, no, honestly. That's why I was like, I want to be Dan Santa because I look like shit. I always think it's so funny when it says Dan, who looks like shit and can't even read. All right, let's move on to... Oh, look, where else can you find us? Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, obviously our NBA podcast. And if you like 90 Day Fiancé...
In the biz.
Stop by one of the Twitch streams for 420 Day Fiancé if you like that. Or just listen to the podcast with Sophie Alexandra and I. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Ashley Winter, MD, urologist, at Ashley G. Winter, tweeted, "Urine is not sterile. Stop saying that, people. It's not sterile."
Uh-oh.
Which I don't know what that's in response to or what, as a urologist, put them over the edge for that tweet to be like, I can't, if I got to hear about this pee being sterile.
Wait, I thought it was sterile but not clean. Like it's something like it doesn't have active live bacteria in it, but it's like not good for you.
It's like full of all the toxins that your kidneys are flushing out of your blood.
Yeah. It's like a technicality that it got by on, but wow, it's not even sterile. I mean, now I can't believe anything.
I mean, the fact that it has
my
bacteria.
My favorite website tells me how to drink your pee-pee. My favorite website.
How to drink your pee-pee like a straw. Okay, let's see. What else did I like? What else? Who else? What else? Oh, then this one from Mike Solana at MikeSolana tweeted, "My boyfriend is on a plane to Miami right now, and a bulldog in the row next to him just had diarrhea. Everyone freaked out. The dog owner began sobbing, and the dog escaped. Now, covered in poo, it is running around the plane. People are lifting up their legs and screaming." That is my fucking nightmare, flying with pets. Mm-hmm. And I
can't. It happened to me.
What happened to you?
It's kind of a sad story.
Your dog poo-pooed or someone else's dog? Pooped on the flight.
My dog. Oh.
He's gonna bum us out. I think you told this one, and I was. Yeah, and I remember at the end, we're like,
it has a sad story. Sad ending. My dog was actually sick for a reason. It didn't last much longer, but it did escape from the bag we were carrying it in, run up to first class, and take a wild, loud diarrhea shit in first class. And
honestly,
then
good.
Run right back to us like we had trained it, like we had trained her to do that.
Right.
So
more people should be shitting in the aisles of first class.
Yeah.
Right. Like, eat the rich.
What kind of anti-capitalist activist unleashed their activist dog in here? Oh
yeah.
Oh.
They threatened to like turn the plane around on us. It was very upsetting.
Oh my god! I can't. That's my worst. Because I'm also like when. I've been in planes where, like, a dog has taken a shit, and you're like, dude, the planes are like, shit. What the fuck? You're like, your dog's taking a shit in here? Like, what? I'm not overpaying to then also smell dog shit.
Yeah.
So when I had my dog, damn, I was a fucking nervous wreck. I was like, please don't do anything. Please don't shit. Please don't pee. Like,
right. Just do because it is such a nightmare because you are taking them to a place that is very nervous energy inducing, and so like, and you, the last time they pooped was like an hour and a half before you even get on the plane because there's not really great places for them to poop inside the terminal. It's a lot, man.
You got
to
use my method. Don't give them food or water for the 3 days prior to the flight.
Right. Like that's really.
And they'll be so, and their energy levels naturally decline as a result of the calories. It works for everybody.
Damn. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying. Handsome B Charming tweeted, NFL trainer whispering into the ear of injured player, "Get the fuck up right now. You're embarrassing me." Because they are always whispering in their ear.
I love it. It's always funny too because sometimes I know in soccer when they go down, sometimes they kill time. So like the trainer has to figure out if they're actually hurt when they're talking. And I was like, what do they say to each other?
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
You're embarrassing me. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what's a song that we think people might enjoy?
I think the people will enjoy this track from the Ha Ha Sounds Collective. And this is featuring Letitia Sadie on vocals. It's called Ha Ha Sounds, or it's called Silk Rock is the name of the track, Silk Rock. And they're like a 30-plus person group, basically. But they play like these huge arrangements that if you're like into sample-based like hip-hop or like old Blue Note jazz and stuff, you may have heard of David Axelrod, who's like made a ton of songs that are like the foundation of an infinite amount of rap songs. This sounds like David Axelrod's work. And it's like really kind of trippy and ethereal with the vocals. It's really dope. And it's got a little bit of, you know, a little rhythm to it too. So this is Silk Rock by the Ha Ha Sounds Collective. And this is a new group. This single came out like a year or two ago. So enjoy that.
Oh,
All right, well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.